Coming to you live, even though this is being recorded on the Believe Podcast Network. This is Sully and Stone, Crowley Sullivan here, Jordan Stone joining me as usual. Today's episode, folks, presented to you proudly by Club 501, providing revelers and partygoers, as well as travelers, with the finest lodging and leisure accoutrements in all of Ingham County, Michigan. Club 501, you're always at home at Club 501. Friendly reminder to our listeners, we haven't mentioned this in a while. Our mission is what, Stone?
I save the world.
Precisely. We are here to save the world by talking about important matters, and there's really only one matter that is of import right now. And it's what went down in East Lansing, Michigan, along the banks of the Red Cedar. Stone, I'm going to give you the first crack at breaking down what happened in that epic game.
Well, let's start with what we talked about leading up to the game. I'm going to give myself credit. I told you, and it
you're going to give yourself credit?
Of course, in this respect.
It's very magnanimous. I said
Michigan would come out.
That's very magnanimous.
I'm a big fan of myself. You know that. That Michigan came out throwing the ball like they did. And, you know, McNamara was great for most of the day, almost all of the day. He threw the ball very well. Some receivers, in particular, Anthony, number one, came to play and certainly is somebody to watch in the future. The game was decided by Michigan State's defensive concept of stopping the run. I never thought Michigan State would be able to stop Michigan from running the ball. And they did. Michigan could not run the ball against Michigan State. And Michigan State made a concerted effort, as you tend to say, you know, bend but not break. And they let Michigan throw the ball all over the place. But they did stop Michigan's really good running game. And that was the difference in the game to me.
Anything, any other opening remarks before I offer a couple of remarks relative to what you all, some of the things that you just said?
No, I'm going to let you take the floor now.
Okay. You talked about Cade McNamara throwing the ball well, throwing the ball all over the field, et cetera. One of the things that I talked about was State was going to dare Cade McNamara to beat them through the air. Everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of people are talking about what an amazing game Cade McNamara had, and he did. He threw for a lot of yards. But here is the fact of the matter. And this is an example of how State, no surprise, completely outcoached Ann Arbor in every phase of the game. When it mattered most, Cade McNamara simply did not come through, period, end of story. He missed wide receivers in several key important moments of the game that would have probably put the game out of reach. What State did was say, we're going to give you your 385 yards or however many yards he threw for, but you're not going to actually beat us. So kudos to Cade McNamara for throwing for all those yards. But I will repeat, and this is just a fact, when it mattered most, he did not come through. State's pass defense let him do his thing, and he didn't come through. You have any? Would you agree with that?
He played a real good game. Wide receiving core and the tight ends were better than I think both of us thought coming into the game. They performed well. They couldn't run the ball, and that's their bread and butter.
You sound subdued, Stone.
Not at all. No. I'm listening to your take on the game. Not at all. Not in the least bit subdued. I'm excited to be here today. Looking forward to this show. Very happy for you and all our friends that love State. But, you know, we'll see what, you know, they threw the ball very well. Michigan State's game plan, as I said, I was impressed with their ability to stop the run. The two things that stood out to me the most were Michigan State's ability to stop the run and Michigan's ability not to stop the run. The linebacking core in Michigan, it was pathetic. The front four clearly had a lot of pressure from both ends. But Michigan State was able to run the ball. Walker was phenomenal. I know we'll get into that, but not subdued at all. It was a great football game. It was a great atmosphere. It lived up to everybody's expectations.
It really did. You know, there are great game. Not often is there a game that receives so much hype that actually not only lives up to the hype, but surpasses the hype. That was one of the best football games. Well, I think it's easy to, I'll get much debate to say it's the best football game of this season easily. And I think that it's the best single football game in the history of the rivalry between these two schools. I think it's the best game ever played in Spartan Stadium.
Wow.
The 10-10 tie in 1966, for all of its, you know, legendary mystique and meaning to the sport, the actual game itself doesn't live up to the game that was played between Michigan State and Michigan on Saturday. That game had everything. It was so exciting. The entire atmosphere was like nothing I've ever experienced in East Lansing. But I want to get back to the game just for a second here. I want to talk about a couple of things. So many people talked about how Ann Arbor's vaunted rush defense was going to shut down State. State bludgeoned Ann Arbor's rush defense. And I mean bludgeoned them. That was destruction. And K-9 gained 197 yards. The man scored 5 touchdowns. First time that's ever happened against Michigan. That rush defense that all of those blabbermouths, and I'm going to get to the blabbermouths. I've written them all down. I'm literally going to name the blabbermouths that spoke about Ann Arbor's rush defense and how State had... I'm going to quote one guy, one idiot. I don't even know the guy's name. He's on some radio station in Detroit or Michigan or something. He spoke of how K-9 went up against a bunch of meatballs, and his yards were cotton candy yards. K-9 ran over, through, around, and everything else against that defense. He destroyed them. And the Michigan State offensive line absolutely won the war in the trenches.
On the running side, and they sure held in block great on the passing side. I mean, you saw Hutchinson go around that guy many times, caused several holding penalties. The guy on the other side had at least a couple sacks. So I'm not going to say the pass protection was good. I mean, you can't say that.
No, I won't say that.
Yeah, don't say that. It didn't happen.
I didn't say that.
But when you talk about an offensive line, though, there's two aspects to it. There's run blocking, there's pass blocking, and blocking was not great.
It was good enough to win the game. It was good enough to win the football game. And that's another thing. So let's talk about State's defensive line and State's overall defense. A college football writer, opiner, who will go nameless, told me, quote, slow your roll. Your defense gave up over 500 yards. When you win a top 10 matchup like that, I don't care if you give up 800 yards. You win the game. Here's what State did. They forced Ann Arbor to kick 4 field goals. When you're stiffening up in the red zone and you're keeping the opponent out of the end zone and you're forcing them to kick 4 field goals, even though the other team is gaining yards, you got a damn good chance of winning that game. Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm listening to you. Yeah, I mean, there's no question. I'm here. I you know, they got it done. That's the bottom line. They got it done. I was willing to go as far as this. Out of all the Michigan State games I saw, their pass rush was very mediocre on Saturday too. States. They wouldn't put any pressure on McNamara. McNamara had all day back there. The key to the game was Michigan State's ability to run the ball and Michigan State's ability to stop the run. That's how they won that game.
And Cade McNamara's inability to make the throws when it mattered most.
He made a lot of throws.
It's just a fact. He made a lot of throws.
He made a lot of good throws. He had some drops, too. McNamara played a hell of a game. Listen, we can get to McCarthy being brought in. That's an interesting aspect of the game. McCarthy came in, and he had a huge fumble. Why is he in the game? Obviously, Harbaugh's answered that question numerous times, different ways.
Yeah, he seems to have five different explanations for why you're putting that kid. Before we get to that, though, Stone, I want to talk about something else. I touched on this in the lead up to the game. I talked about whether or not the 34-year-old defensive coordinator in Ann Arbor, Mike McDonald, was actually up to the task. He was not. He was caught with his pants at his ankles a handful of times.
He was a handful of
times when State would deliver
substitution
one of its countless big plays, and then would run tempo.
Yep.
And literally on one of them scored a touchdown.
Remarkable that they didn't call timeout.
Why do you not call timeout? How are you not?
I've never seen a team not call
timeout. And part of it is the 34-year-old first time defensive coordinator, who I said was not up to the task, is trying to get too cutesy. He's sending in subs. Get your guys lined up, or how about somebody over there could just call timeout?
Yeah, that particular play, that timeout needed to be called.
Not that particular play. It happened about four times.
Give Michigan State credit, I am, for their gutty calls on fourth down. I mean, these fourth down conversions, obviously the first one where, you know, midfield, he hit Naylor down the middle, which was
a
great throw under pressure and a great play. And then, of course, the other fourth down on the long ball to the corner, I believe you can, that was to number one. It was
fourth
one.
And four, yeah. And Jay Johnson dials up that.
Yeah,
incredible. That's confident. I mean, that's confidence in your quarterback. That's confidence in your wide receiver.
Certainly Thorne's best throw of the game. I mean, that was a huge, huge play. And then listen, to convert both two-point conversions was the odds of that were daunting. As Michigan State won this game, Kenneth Walker certainly vaulted himself into the head Heisman leader right now.
Okay, so wait. You that is something obviously that we have to talk about is Walker's performance.
You know, third and six. The guy has a huge hole he runs through. I mean,
where do you put that performance? Do you put that performance in any sort of like all time great category?
No, I don't put it in an all time great category, but he certainly had a phenomenal game. I mean, five touchdowns. That's a great number. But
let me just ask you this. Let me just ask you a question.
Sure.
It's Michigan State against Ann Arbor. They're both top 10. All the stakes, the hype, the guy rushes for 197 yards and five touchdowns, and you don't put that in, not even.
I put it in the rivalry. Certainly, the rivalry is one of the great performances in the rivalry. But three hours later, a back from BYU ran for five touchdowns. So
in a game that mattered at all. Did that BYU game register with anyone
who wasn't a Mormon? It wasn't as big a game as Michigan State, but I'm not going to go and say, you know, this is one of the greatest performances of all time. It wasn't. It was a great performance in a rivalry big game, and he had a wonderful game. And as we talked about, two things were going to happen if Michigan State won. One, Mel Tucker's name is now in the stratosphere of people are now watching him, and he's on the radar. And number two is Walker's, in a year where there's no Heisman favorite, Walker vaulted himself into the Heisman lead for right now.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. So obviously there was all kinds of talk in Beast Lansing about whether or not K-9 is now the front runner. Do you think he's the front runner?
100% this week. I mean, there's been a new front runner, you know, every other week. So you got to back it up again, and you got to keep backing it up. But yes, right now, as we talk, Kenneth Walker III is the favorite for the Heisman Trophy today.
So let me get this straight. You were confused by the English Patient.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it since you mentioned it, but yeah, the English, as I told
you, it just confused you. What was confusing? But that's different than confusion.
I fell asleep for half of it, so I don't really remember it. But I'm going to give it another watching. So when you hit me with that in week, 11, I'm going to be ready to answer that question,
folks. I'm going to turn to my left here, and I'm going to pose a question to my temporary executive administrative manager, Amanda Boyk. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen The English Patient?
I've never heard of The English Patient.
Never heard of it?
No.
Never even heard of it?
No.
Amanda's youth like, I always know comes who into Alec play. Baldwin was. Yeah.
What you? Yeah. Well, that's Amanda's
young. I don't know. I don't know if it's my youth or just my lack of knowing about any movies or TV shows or.
Well, you're focused on your. You're focused on your jujitsu.
Yeah.
What do you have a workout tonight?
Of course, I have two.
Tell us about the workouts tonight.
I have 6 and 7. From 6 to 7 is technique, and 7 to whenever we decide that we're done is live training.
And when does fascia kick in?
That is Fridays to Sundays.
Okay.
Because I'm here during the week, so I can't.
Oh, right. Good point. Hey, Stone.
Yes, sir.
Here's another thing. Mel Tucker and Jay Johnson, that's the offensive coordinator for State, never wavered with the game plan. And what that means is they ran the ball. The team is down 30 to 14. This is another thing that I don't think gets quite enough credit. There's so much to talk about in this game, of course. But the comeback, the fact that this team was down 30 to 14 with about 4 minutes to play in the third quarter, and they stick with the running game. You're right. The running game, I mean, I'll say it again. State bludgeoned the Ann Arbor rush
defense. I mean, he gashed them. It was huge just runs, big runs. I mean, 3rd and 6, you're right. They have the patience to run the ball on 3rd and 6 and then him go 60-plus yards. Yeah, I mean, the Michigan linebacking core was non-existent.
Yeah.
Michigan State really didn't throw the ball great in the game. There's no question about that. And part of the reason, once again, is because the two ends were in a rush to get to who could get to Thorne first. And Thorne, thank God for him. He's mobile. He made some good decisions with his feet. But boy, I mean, Hutchinson on the left side and the other guy, 55, whatever number is on the right side, those guys were, they were very, very good. But the Michigan linebacking core was not up to speed. And listen, the biggest thing that comes out of the game on the Michigan side, of course, Harbaugh loses another game against the Rake team, and everyone's talking about that, and that is what it is.
By the way, that we're going to get to that in a minute.
I know, but let me get to this point about that. And once again, what Jim Harbaugh has failed to do in his tenure at Michigan is recruit at a higher level, period. There wasn't enough speed. There wasn't enough physical toughness on that defense to play in a game like this. For a guy to gash you for 199 yards is unacceptable, and he should have better players, and he should have way more speed and way more. The linebacking core, I just can't get over the linebacking core, how bad it is. It was pathetic.
To steal a line from Braylon Edwards, can you name one of the Ann Arbor linebackers?
I can't. I have no idea who they were. They're nameless because they don't make any plays.
Stone, did you ever engage in the television program Boy Meets World?
No, I know the name of it, but I have not seen that program.
I would highly recommend that you check that program out.
That's an old one, right?
Well, yeah, it was on in the mid-90s. It was an ABC program.
Yeah, who was the star of that show?
I don't remember who the star was, but it was a coming-of-age program about a boy just sort of learning the lessons of life in a little bit of a kind of a, you know, whimsical sort of a way. You'd like it, I think.
Are you comparing that to somebody? Is that
no? I'm not. No. There were no incentives. My temporary executive administrative manager really got a kick out of that.
Yeah. Stuff. No, we heard her.
Yeah.
She's on mic. We can hear her.
No, that was not. There was no insinuation. It's just simply a question.
I don't know if Harbaugh was the boy. If I was the boy.
No, it had nothing to do. It was a non sequitur.
Okay.
Check it out on the YouTube. I think you can find it. Stone, are you ready to throw some stones?
I'm always ready. Yeah. Today I have a special category today.
We have a sponsor today.
Of course we have.
We do have a sponsor. By the way, I want to just thank our sales team. These men and women are pounding the street out there every day, every week, cold calling, knocking on doors. The work these guys do, and it's why we're on the air. It's so appreciated. And today's segment of Throwing Stones is presented by Homewood Disposal Services of Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana's pride and joy when it comes to waste removal and recycling. In 2018, Homewood Disposal Services successfully converted 36% of all waste into recycled materials that contributed to a healthier treatment of our planet. Homewood Disposable Services of Gary, Indiana, taking your garbage away so you can play. Stone, it's time to throw some stones. Go. You got 2 minutes.
Oh.
So today's throwing stones will be in reference to who will be losing their job at the Power Five schools. That is my, hopefully will be our, my annual look at week, what are we, Crowley, seven, eight? I don't even know where we
we're
are.
We're going into week nine.
Week nine.
Or no, week 10, because so teams have some buys.
I looked at the Power Five today, and I've made my notes here. So in the ACC, I would like to bid adieu to Mr. David Cutcliffe, who's really done a great job at Duke, but his time is up. He will resign.
That's a good call.
He will not be fired, but he will resign.
By the way, there was a period there where everyone was like genuflecting anytime anyone mentioned David Cutcliffe's name.
Well, he did a great job at a lousy program, and now they're back to lousy. So when sometimes, yeah, when the program that's bad does good, we give him credit, but he's back where he started, bad, and he will resign on his way out with Coach K. Both will be leaving together. Manny Diaz at Miami. This is a tough one. I don't think he makes it. Two great wins for Manny Diaz.
Manny Diaz.
Two great wins in a row.
You came up with two great wins, which, by the way, makes State's victory over the U seem a little bit more impressive than a couple weeks ago when everyone was saying that victory meant nothing. It meant something.
And the last guy leaving the ACC will be Justin Fuente. Virginia Tech finally got a win this week, but it's too little, too late. Justin Fuente will be unemployed at the end of the year. And the Big 12, the Big 12 has started a fad. If Kansas State beats you, you lose your job, which is a fair statement.
Seconds.
So two in a row.
30 seconds left in throwing
stones. I've been cut off. Let me finish this. So Kansas State beating two, so two out there. So that'll be the all. Big 10. Scott Frost in Nebraska will be relieved of his duties. That will happen.
Wow. That is actually a significant call.
On the Pac-12.
You just threw a stone there. That is legitimate.
Well, I think that's a legitimate stone. Scott Frost is gone. Pac-12. Herman Edwards gone at Arizona State.
Leave it on the grass. He's going to be left on the grass, huh?
Here's one for you, Crowley. Chip Kelly, gone, UCLA. He will not be back at the end of the season.
Yeah. I think he'll get one more season.
No, he will be gone. Chip Kelly will not be back next year. And that is it, because the USC, that's Washington it. State, are, and LSU, obviously, the SEC will hold all their coaches, and LSU will fill their opening. Who will replace all these people?
So I give you about a C+ on that throwing stones. By the way, throwing stones today was presented by Homewood Disposal Services of Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana's pride and joy when it comes to waste removal and recycling. In 2018, Homewood Disposal Services successfully converted 36% of all waste into recycled materials that contributed to a healthier treatment of our planet. Homewood Disposal Services of Gary, Indiana, taking your garbage away so you can play.
That plug is longer than throwing stones.
Well, it's important. And listen, I want to make it clear. I mentioned this on last week's program. We do not take our editorial cues from our sponsors. It's one of the reasons why we love our sponsors so much. They give us, as they should, they give us the editorial freedom we have earned and we need. Are you ready, Stone, for me to list off a bunch of blabbermouths with respect to State U and Ann Arbor? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Listeners.
To the victors go the spoils. Here we go.
Listeners. Rich Eisen.
Michigan graduate.
Yeah. When Harbaugh was being wooed by your alma mater, you sent out a Twitter that said, "Come home, Jimmy. Jimmy." Well, he's been home now for 7 years, and that home stinks to high heaven. Number two blabbermouth, Taylor Luan. You want to know what that guy is, Stone?
I'm familiar with who he is.
Do you want to know what he is?
I'm going to hear it either way, so yes. What do you got?
An absolute colossal donkey. That guy is an... I'm going to say it again. An absolute colossal donkey. Well, ready for number three?
Fire away.
Mike Hart. Nice job on getting this entire thing started. How does it feel? You're an assistant coach with the Ann Arbor program right now, and you literally started this whole just series of beatdowns that continues and will continue. Jim Brandstatter. Do you know who he is, Stone?
I am very familiar with him, yes.
Yeah. You know what he is?
I assume he's in the donkey realm.
He's a fat idiot. Oh, that's what he is.
Wow. That's editorial control.
Chris Ballas. You know who he is?
I am not familiar with that person.
Obviously. He's one of these guys in the state of Michigan who buys time on the radio and has like a blog or something like that. You know what Chris Ballas is?
Donkey?
Irrelevant. Okay. Braylon Edwards.
I'm familiar with his work.
Did you hear what he had to say last week?
I did not.
He said, I don't know any of the players' names on Michigan State's defense. They're not up to it. I think he knows some of the players' names. Braylon Edwards, by the way, what an epic, epic performance he had in the triple overtime game. And I think it was 2005. Amazing performance. So for that, I have respect for him. However, Braylon Edwards, I have a suggestion. Shut your mouth. Dan Dierdorf. You know who he is, Stone? I'm
familiar. Michigan legendary player, yes.
Yeah, and he's Jim Brandstatter's radio sidekick on the play-by-play. Now, Dan Dierdorf's a Hall of Famer. He did a nice job in the NFL, obviously. Dan Dierdorf, when it comes to Ann Arbor, you're a moron. Desmond Howard. You want to know what I have to say about Desmond Howard, Stone?
Yes.
You do know what I want to say.
I assume I have a good idea, but by all means.
He dropped the ball. Stop bitching about it. It's over. You dropped the ball. Last donkey, Lloyd Carr. Your players didn't deserve better. You didn't deserve better. Ann Arbor never deserves better. And what you deserve is to have lost 10 of the last 15 games to the school that you can't even acknowledge as your rival. If I'm a UMAA fan, the first thing I'm identifying on my to-do list is, what can we do to figure out how to handle this school in East Lansing that we just don't, we can't even figure out whether we want to acknowledge they're our rival, we want to pretend they're not our rival, yet we blabber our mouths about how they're our little brother, and then they kick our ass all the time. That's what I would do if I was an Ann Arbor fan. I would put that number one on my list for a to-do list.
Well, here's where I'm going with it now. I'm going to steer the talk right now to, okay, game is over, the Big Ten East, we've got Week 10 coming up here, and the people in Ann Arbor realize one thing. If they win out, they'll be in the playoff. If Michigan State wins out, they'll be in the playoff.
You think
if Ohio State wins out?
You think Ann Arbor has a chance to win out?
Yeah, I think they have a chance. I don't think it's likely, but I think they have a chance. My point being, the season's not over.
No, it's not, but that game is over.
The game's over. Michigan State won, but you move on. You got a huge game in West Lafayette.
Played at Ross-Ade Stadium.
At Ross-Ade, our favorite spot. But
yeah,
I'll tell you, that's a team that can throw the football. Now, we're going to find out, as you stated, you know, hey, they said beat us in the air. But that's got to be the opposite thought of Purdue, because all Purdue does is throw the ball around the lot. So this is going to be
a tough game.
Everybody's got to move on. Listen, it was a great atmosphere, a great win. But, boy, 1 week doesn't make a season for anybody.
No, it doesn't.
Especially
it doesn't.
In the Big Ten East, which is loaded.
However, and is this good? Is not
Penn State's playing better.
But this is not a – but obviously, this is not a critique. You're not a part of the Michigan State Michigan thing. So that's just not a critique. That's just a fact.
No, it is a fact. Yeah.
Therefore,
I went to Tulane University. We have no football tradition. I mean, I've of course thought about this when I saw and knew you guys were all going. I've had the great enjoyment of being invited to East Lansing to many football games. It is incredible. I mean, the thought of somebody like me that went to school at Tulane, which has no football, forget tradition. There's used to be at the Superdome, there'd be 5,000 people in an 80,000 seat arena. Stuff that happens at East Lansing is incredible. It's a great atmosphere. It's a great, great stadium. The band is amazing. big time college football at huge universities is unparalleled.
Well, and, that's what we're here to talk about on this.
Phenomenal.
Podcast. Phenomenal. You enjoyed yourself at Tulane. Did you not?
Yeah.
But that is, if you
could, in retrospect, yourself, it would have been a lot of fun to be a part of these football Saturdays. I'll tell you
that. But if you can't enjoy yourself as a student at Tulane, don't you have to like question your existence?
Yeah. Half the kids don't even make it at that school. It's too much fun. So state right out.
State have to turn the page, of course, and take care of Purdue. And that is a dangerous game. That is a dangerous game. The line, I think, is 3 points. And I think that's appropriate.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I know it sounds, after a great win like that, and there's no question Michigan State's having a hell of a year, a phenomenal season. But if they win this game after this kind of high over their rival,
yeah,
and they can come back and win this game, then Michigan State, not diminishing their season. It's been a great,
I know what
great
you're saying.
But if they win this game, then they are really a great football team.
Okay. If
they can do that, I'll be extremely impressed.
As of our speaking at this very moment, the college football rankings are being released. I do not have them in front of me. That would sort of like ruin the integrity of the broadcast. It might.
If they just released them to you?
No, well, they might do that. But it really would ruin the broadcast if we dared to sort of look at what's going on with the rankings. And because I have on the rundown here, my temporary executive administrative manager, Amanda Boyd, creates the rundown for this show every week. And she's got right on here, college football playoff ranking predictions. That's the next item on the list.
What do you got? You go first. What do you got?
Georgia's obviously number one.
Obviously.
I think that the committee is going to put Cincinnati number two.
I think State's two.
I think State's three.
I think it's inverse. I think
and Alabama's three. Four. You think Cincinnati? So you think State's number two?
They deserve to be ranked higher than Cincinnati. They have bigger wins.
They deserve to be. But I just think that the committee is going to get wrapped up in this kind of Cincinnati.
A lot of Cincinnati backlash actually lately. A lot of Cincinnati backlash that they let Tulane hang around and they let the last week Navy hang around.
I don't think Cincinnati ends up in the playoff itself. By the way,
you think they lose a game?
Even if they win out,
they're going to be in.
I don't know. I don't think there will be. If you're looking at, like, let's say there's Georgia. You get Georgia. Let's say Ohio State wins out with one loss. They're ahead of them. Oklahoma could be ahead of them. You could maybe even if let's say State loses to Columbus in like a really tight game. State could sneak in ahead of Cincinnati, even with that one loss.
I don't see it. I think Cincinnati wins out. If Cincinnati goes undefeated, and they do, I know it's certainly not at the level of Power Five schools, but if they do beat SMU and then they do win the championship game of the American against either SMU again or Houston, I think that's going to be enough. I think there's enough groundswell where people are tired of seeing the same old power conferences. I think you'll see Cincinnati in the playoff if they win out. I happen to think they'll lose. I think they're trending to lose. I have not been. They don't seem to have the fire right now. And unless Fickell can really get them going soon, I think they're on a line right now to be losing late in the year. SMU will beat them, or Houston will beat them.
You want to know what I think about this?
Yes,
I think that. Well, I don't think I know that Taylor Luan is an absolute donkey.
Well, he has made a lot of dumb penalties in his career. That I will say. I mean, this guy plays way after the whistle. He made a lot of money, though, Carl, for a donkey. Man, has this guy been paid?
He's earned his money. That doesn't mean he isn't a donkey. Donkey.
Let's put it this way. I don't think the University of Michigan is thrilled that he's the spokesman.
Doesn't somebody at some point approach him and say,
no,
dude, just keep your mouth shut?
No, I know you're going to say anything to that guy. That guy's trouble. You say something to that guy is a maniac, period. He's got a serious mental issue, that guy.
All right. I'm glad you brought that up, because when you watch him from last week, talking about the boys in blue and how Michigan State is fraudulent and all the rest of the stuff that he said, did it strike you that something honestly is wrong with him?
Well, no, we know something's wrong with the guy. The guy has a tendency to play way after the whistle. He's like a Richie Incognito in the NFL. He's got a lot of personal
good
fouls.
Good call. Richie,
he's got problems.
Where is Richie Incognito?
I think he's in the Raiders, but I think he's...
Is he on the Raiders?
Both, but I think he's hurt. I think he's hurt.
You'd have to ask your friend Brent.
Brent will know. I don't know.
He would know. Yeah.
Of course he would know. Brent knows that roster like the back of his hand.
Who wins the Big Ten, Stone? Wow. Spider.
Wow. Ohio State.
So you got Columbus winning the East and winning the title. Who wins the West?
Boy, I hope it's Minnesota. It's probably Wisconsin. But I think
Wisconsin ends up winning.
It's remarkable if they do. It is what a turn of events. I was talking to our captain yesterday about that, and he said he cannot believe how Wisconsin's come back from the dead.
You had words with Captain?
I did about Wisconsin. Oh, we talked about that.
Was that the purpose of the discussion? Just to get together?
We touched on a lot of subjects.
What else did you talk about with Captain?
What did we talk about last night? We talked about baseball. We always talk about baseball. We love talking about baseball.
What did you talk about with regard to baseball?
Well, lately, we've not in this conversation, but what me and him have had a lot of conversations about the top 100 players in the history of the game. And
that's a hell of a topic.
We have. And there's a list that came out, and he was adamant that he was not happy with the list at all.
Who put the list out?
It's a hard name for me to pronounce. It's Joe Posansky. It's a man. I'm pronouncing his name wrong. He used to write for the Kansas City Star, and the captain was absolutely adamant that some of those choices were wrong, and he had written off this said writer in general as somebody that he did not respect.
Where is Ruth on that list?
On that list, Ruth is... I got to remember.
Is he top five?
Better be top five.
All right, certainly. I don't like when modernists try to diminish George Ruth.
Nobody.
By saying that, you know, he wouldn't be able to hit in this modern era and all that crap.
George Ruth is
you could make the argument and win a lot of the argument that he's number one.
I think we were also talking about Kentucky and Mississippi State. Me and the captain tend to talk a lot about the SEC always.
So let me ask you.
Our pride and joy.
Since you bring up Kentucky.
Yes.
In week two or three, you and I had a difference of opinion on Kentucky football. Yeah. I said at the time, Kentucky is a fraud. They are a fraud. They're enough said. But
they had a bad week last week. Wow.
When it comes to Big Blue Nation on the hardwood, we exchanged some text messages and K-Hi weighed in. So did Captain. It'll be 10 years since Coach Cal won the whole thing with Big Blue Nation. That is a basketball fan base that doesn't have a whole lot of patience. 10 years might as well be 100 years. But there's this whole thing with Coach Cal. You're not, you know, really supposed to acknowledge that he hasn't won in 10 years. And do they even put up banners in Rupp Arena for a Final Four appearance?
They do. They do put those banners up. But I will say this about Coach Cal. He came in where Billy Gillespie really failed miserably.
Coach Cal is
still one of the best recruiters on the planet.
Okay, that's fine.
That's why Kentucky fans put up with it, because they know even if they had a bad year like last year, which was completely inexcusable, they did not make the tournament. But that Coach Cal is going to bring in a top 2, top 3 class. I mean, he is the absolute second best or best recruiter in the country, bar none. So, yes, does Kentucky expect to win championships? You're darn right. Is Rupp Arena filled with maniacs that expect to win championships? Absolutely. He's won one. The 2 years he did make the tournament are a real embarrassment. But he'll be back this year. Kentucky's going to be very, very good.
Quickly.
Transfer portal. You should have a little respect for the
Stone. Quickly, does State beat Purdue?